This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast dedicated to keeping you in touch with many of today's most important issues and examining how those issues directly affect our traditional values. And now, here is author and constitutional lawyer, Phyllis Schlafly.
A six-year-old boy recently got into trouble for bringing a small toy gun on his school bus. The toy gun was plastic and was not much bigger than a quarter. Yet the bus driver claimed that the tiny toy created a disturbance and traumatized the other children. Because of the school's zero-tolerance policy, the student was assigned detention and forced to write a letter apologizing to the bus driver. The school even considered revoking the six-year-old's bus-riding privileges. Now, it's ridiculous to punish a kindergarten student for carrying a small plastic toy. The toy gun did not endanger anybody, and no one could possibly have mistaken it for a real gun. Sending the boy to detention did not make anybody safer. Instead, it sent a message that the school will punish small children even though they did nothing wrong. Taxpayer dollars should not pay school officials to bully kindergarten students. Punishing students based on the shape of their small plastic toys is really outrageous. But the overreach of school officials does not end there. Earlier this year, a seven-year-old student was suspended from school for 2 days because of the shape of the strawberry tart he was eating. The boy had nibbled away at parts of the pastry, and school officials thought it then resembled a gun. The boy said he did not intend to shape the pastry into the form of a gun. Nevertheless, an assistant principal sent a letter to parents offering counseling to students who may have been traumatized by the pastry in the shape of a gun. In another recent case, a student was suspended for displaying a picture of a gun on his computer. Will school administrators soon ban illustrations of guns in history textbooks? Will they prohibit the word gun? Taxpayer-funded schools should use common sense and stop censoring children.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Parents, it's important for the sake of your kids that you keep up with the latest trends in education. That's why we publish the Education Reporter. Write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 for your free copy. That's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Or go online to eagleforum.org. And join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Water filtration holiday specials from RBN. You can get a Royal Berkey made of polished stainless steel that holds 3.25 gallons and comes with two black Berkey purification elements, one shower filter that'll do up to 20,000 gallons or typically last 1 year, and one Berkey sport bottle for the total price of $356, a $40 savings. We also have a Berkey Light, one shower filter and one sport bottle for the low price of $299, a $40 savings. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200 today.
Hello, friends. It is Tuesday, December 31st, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN, whose website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com and click on the radio schedule button. Please also visit spingolaspeaks.info or spingolaspeaks.wordpress.com for links and files not found elsewhere. These sites were created by one of our very talented listeners to augment information not found elsewhere. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. I don't have a guest today. I'm going to talk about the Genocide Treaty, the events that led up to it, going to talk about a few other things that are relevant. Here we go. I'm going to first introduce the etymology of genocide. Dr. Raphael Lemkin, a Polish-born Jewish lawyer, coined the word genocide to characterize the methodical acts that a group commits with the objective of destroying national, ethnic, racial, or religious groups. On December 11, 1946, Lemkin's work would bring about the UN adoption of a resolution condemning genocide as a crime under international law. On December 9, 1948, the UN General Assembly passed a resolution that urged countries to ratify a genocide treaty which would allow each country to prosecute any perpetrator of the crime of genocide. Emil S. Rappaport, a Polish Jewish lawyer, a specialist in criminal law, helped found the doctrine of international criminal law to cope with such issues as genocide, war crimes, crimes against humanity, and any war of aggression. In 1919, he was a member of the Codification Committee and as such was one of the founders of the International Association of Penal Law in Paris on March 14, 1924. He was the organization's vice president and vice chairman from 1924 to 1939, just before the war. In addition to brutal war itself, he advocated that one should consider any propaganda promoting aggression as an international crime. Lemkin met Professor Rappaport at the Free University of Warsaw. Rappaport was the founder of the doctrine of the international criminal law, along with Wacław Mikołajczyk, who would help draft the 1932 Criminal Code and the Polish Constitution of 1935. Rappaport served as the president of the Polish Commission for International Judicial Cooperation. Lemkin soon joined the Polish Commission for International Jurisdictional Cooperation, as well as the Association International in Paris. Lemkin later collaborated with Duke University law professor Malcolm Dermot in the English translation of the Polish Penal Code of 1932. Lemkin apparently endorsed the work of Vespasian V. Pella, a member of the Association International and a delegate to the League of Nations from 1925 to 1938. In 1925, as the vice president of the International Association of Penal Law, Pella began publishing groundbreaking work on international criminal law. In 1928, he would introduce a draft for the creation of an international criminal court. In 1937, as a member of the League, he would suggest the creation of such a court. He also persuaded his colleagues to draft a convention on terrorism, possibly motivated by the murder of King Alexander of Yugoslavia, a document that they would sign on November 16, 1937, but of course it was never enforced. In 1947, he would be one of the chief architects of the Convention on the Prevention of Genocide and would function as an expert advisor on international law for the UN. Lemkin also agreed with the concepts of Rapoport, which were to implement the punishment of international crimes, especially aggressive war, through the formation of an international criminal court and law and criminal court. In 1927, Pella suggested that the PCIJC, the organization mentioned previously, convene its first conference in order to unify the criminal law in Warsaw. Rapoport presided over the conference held in Warsaw while Pella was the general secretary. Lemkin did not function in any official capacity at the conference, but probably appeared at a few of the meetings. He was the deputy prosecutor for the District Court of Warsaw from 1929 through 1934 and the secretary of the Committee on Codification of the Laws of the Polish Republic. He and Rapoport worked on the new Polish Criminal Code of 1932. In late 1933, Lemkin presented his essay on the crime of barbarity as a crime against international law to the Legal Council of the League of Nations in Madrid, basing his concept of genocide on the Armenian genocide. Lemkin proposed at the Fifth International Conference for the Unification of Penal Law the criminalization of any actions that targeted the destruction of a racial, religious, or social group. In his 1944 book, Lemkin would say that genocide was the destruction of a nation or of an ethnic group. He sought for the creation of international prerequisites that would safeguard minority groups against persecution due to their nationhood, religion, or race. He selectively applied this to what people then referred to as national minorities. Lemkin argued that the officials should modify the Hague regulations to include an international controlling agency vested with specific powers, such as visiting the occupied countries and making inquiries as to the manner in which the occupant treats natives in prison. Lemkin probably did not want to impose a prohibition of genocide over every single minority, but only those who officials defined as such in the treaties regarding minorities during the interval between the wars. They used the term national to describe minorities residing in newly established states following the First World War. William A. Chabas asserts that for Lemkin, genocide was ethnic specific, and he applied it only to the destruction of the Jews, who are not really a national group, but rather an international entity. In 1935, Lemkin and Rapoport attended the Sixth International Conference for the Unification of Criminal Law in Copenhagen. The officials of this conference covered the topics of terrorism and its repression and the creation of an international criminal court. Following World War I, the officials at the preliminary peace conference established the Responsibilities Commission, which defined a list of criminal breaches of the laws and customs of war, including those that were part of the Hague Conventions. Additionally, they incorporated other crimes, now called war crimes, or crimes against humanity. These include massacres, organized terrorism, the calculated starvation of civilians, compulsory prostitution, forced labor of civilians, and the incarceration of civilians under inhumane conditions. In 1937, officials appointed multilingual Lemkin as a member of the Polish Commission to the Fourth Congress on Criminal Law in Paris, where he introduced the possibility of defending peace through... Oh, we're going to a break. We'll be right back.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steinblock, DO, and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorne, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Talking about the etymology of the word genocide, which was actually codified by Raphael Lemkin. In 1937, officials appointed multilingual Lemkin as a member of the Polish mission to the Fourth Congress on Criminal Law in Paris, where he introduced the possibility of defending peace through criminal law. He created a compendium of Polish criminal fiscal law, in both Polish and in French, about international law. In 1939, Lemkin joined the Polish army and was wounded when the German army invaded Warsaw. Lemkin left Poland in 1940, ultimately relocated to Sweden, and as a lecturer at the University of Stockholm, formulated a fully documented report on Nazi policies. He alleged that he found hundreds of orders signed by the Wehrmacht commanders, like Himmler and Göring, regarding their supposed final solution. He claimed that he witnessed Germany bombing hundreds of refugee children, determining that he could be more effective in America, and with Malcolm McDermott's help, he immigrated. Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, appointed him as a special lecturer in April 1941. He sent duplicates of his extensive report on Nazi crimes to the State Department. He contacted the Judge Advocate General's office at the War Department as well, and provided a report along with a letter to President Roosevelt requesting immediate action. During the summer of 1942, Lemkin moved to Washington, D.C., where he lectured at the School of Military Government at the University of Virginia. In 1943, officials appointed Lemkin as a consultant to the U.S. Board of Economic Warfare and Foreign Economic Administration. He soon became an advisor and analyst on foreign affairs to the War Department due to his expertise in international law. He wrote Military Government in Europe, a preliminary version of his Axis Rule in Occupied Europe, Laws of Occupation, Analysis of Government, Proposals for Redress. Okay, we're talking really early here in the war. And they're already talking about what they're going to do to the Germans, basically. He wrote this book to document and expose German atrocities and crimes, and it was published by the Carnegie Endowment for World Peace, which is really kind of hypocritical to begin with. There are various forms of genocide, so says Lemkin. Political genocide entails the abolition of a group's political bodies and may include compulsory name changes. Economic genocide entails the destruction or boycotting of a group's economic capacity or livelihood. Lemkin maintained that racial discrimination is the motive behind physical genocide, which involves food scarcity, jeopardizing of health, and mass killings. Lemkin accused Nazi Germany of engaging in all of these genocidal practices. Now, let me take just a little break here for just a minute, just to go over this paragraph. Says political genocide entails the abolition of a group's political bodies and may include compulsory name changes. Economic genocide entails the destruction or boycotting of a group's economic capacity or livelihood. Now, what would we call the outsourcing of all the production in America to other countries where they can exploit cheap labor? I guess that's genocide. Lemkin also maintained that racial discrimination is the motive behind physical genocide, which involves food scarcity, jeopardizing of health. And what do we think that the AMA is doing here in America? And mass killings? What is it, 900,000 a year die at the hands of the allopathic medicine? Well, that's very interesting. Okay, back to the chapter. In February 1943, the Germans found mass graves in the forest of Kozy Góry near Katyn. In addition to the 14,700 Polish officers, there were 50,000 other victims of NKVD brutality. Then, in May 1943, at the mass graves of Vinnytsia, they uncovered more NKVD victims. Joseph Stalin, Molotov, Kalinin, Voroshilov, Mikoyan, and Kaganovich authorized these killings, according to report number 13. On August 19, 1943, the Soviet propaganda apparatus, in another report, Katyn number 2, referred to the gangs of Gestapo agents, the paid provocateurs, the German butchers, the bloodthirsty beasts, the Hitlerite villains, the murderers, and the Hitlerite cannibals. On April 29, 1943, Molotov blamed the German fascists for the murders of the Polish officers. On January 24, 1944, the Soviets issued a comprehensive report, The Truth About Katyn, report of the Extraordinary Commission for the Investigation and Examination of the Circumstances of the Shooting of the POW Polish Officers by the German Fascist Invaders in the Katyn Forest. Well, of course, the Germans hadn't even occupied that area up to that point. And it was actually the Russians, the Soviets, that killed all of these Polish officers in order to decrease the military strength against the Soviets, who were actually invaded into that particular area. In November 1944, the Washington Post had printed an editorial about the War Refugee Board, which had reported the liberation of the Auschwitz and Birkenau camps, where the Nazis gassed about 1.7 million Jews. Okay, this is November 1944. Auschwitz was not liberated until January 27, 1945, by the Soviets. The editorial described how Professor Raphael Lemkin had just coined the word genocide to designate such conduct. The Washington Post, published by Eugene Meyer, endorsed Lemkin and stated that, and I quote, "The Germans have committed genocide in virtually all of the countries of Europe which they occupied," unquote. In late November 1944, during the Jewish Book Month, Columbia University Press published Raphael Lemkin's 712-page book, Axis Rule in Occupied Europe, Laws of Occupation, Analysis of Government Proposals for Redress. Remember, November 1944, before the end of the war, before the Soviets liberated, and I use the word loosely, liberated Auschwitz. And in this book's introduction, dated November 15, 1943, Lemkin, a member of B'nai B'rith International, introduced the word genocide, which he compared to homicide and fratricide. The Division of International Law Publications of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, staffed by many who favored global war against Germany long before it actually occurred, directly sponsored Lemkin's work. The New York Herald Tribune Weekly Book Review on December 31, 1944, applauded Lemkin's book, as did dozens of other prestigious. Oops, we're going to a break. We will be right back.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey, and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
It's no secret that Big Brother is spying on your web activity. VPNForAll.com protects your internet from tyranny with military-grade encryption. VPNForAll keep no records of your browsing, so you leave no trace. VPNForAll are in Holland, free from the NSA and police state jurisdiction. Easy to sign up and use. It stops all data mining. Go to VPNForAll.com immediately and stay safe. That's VPN, the number 4, all.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and I'm talking about the etymology of the word genocide, which was implemented by Raphael Lemkin. The New York Herald Tribune Weekly Book Review of December 31st, 1944, applauded Lemkin's book. And again, that book was called The Axis Rule in Occupied Europe, as did dozens of other prestigious periodicals in both America and Britain, apparently employing organized unity. Reviewers praised this indispensable handbook for those who would be, and I quote, be responsible for initiating retributive justice, unquote. And as the Christian Science Monitor phrased it, for those who would, and I quote, bear the responsibility for dealing with the Germans, unquote, following the war. Okay, this is before the war has even ended. December 1944, people. Every nation involved in World War II committed war crimes and atrocities. On July 14th, 1943, troops from the U.S. 45th Infantry Division slaughtered 75 German prisoners. General George S. Patton had instructed his soldiers to kill enemy soldiers who resisted within 200 yards of advancing U.S. soldiers, regardless of any attempts to surrender. With the exception of what people refer to as the Malmedy massacre, Germans generally did not mistreat the American and British POWs. However, during the early stages of the Battle of the Bulge, SS Lieutenant Colonel Joachim Peiper's men killed 81 U.S. captives on December 17, 1944. Subordinates informed General Dwight D. Eisenhower within a day, and he immediately alerted embedded war correspondents who widely disseminated the story, and I quote, "Germans are shooting POWs," unquote. SS General Joseph Dietrich later admitted, during just one of 12 U.S. Nuremberg military tribunals, that he told his officers, his soldiers, to shoot the American prisoners because of the thousands of victims of Allied bombing. They recovered their frozen bodies on January 13, 1945, almost a month later. On January 1, 1945, possibly in retaliation, U.S. guards at Chegnon shot and killed about 60 German POWs. American officials did not punish anyone for this act, but they would later incarcerate and try Peiper and many of his men for their actions. The U.S. government, which had already engaged in atrocity propaganda against Germany, combined with the national press to repeatedly employ and magnify the Malmedy massacre. This, along with the military success of the Germans during the Battle of the Bulge, which occurred from December 16, 1944 through January 25, 1945, and increased America's growing animosity towards Germany. Certain officials utilized the heightened emotional impact of these killings and the impact that it had on the American population to develop prosecution procedures based on a conspiracy criminal organization. In other words, the NS government. They considered it a criminal organization. Shortly after the massacre, Secretary of War Henry L. Stimson wrote in his diary, and I quote, "It seems to be clear that their troops have been guilty of many violations of laws of war against us," unquote. And this is after massive bombing. Lieutenant Colonel Murray C. Bernays, a naturalized American Jew of Lithuanian origin and a graduate of Harvard Law School, worked in the War Department where he evaluated war crimes. He criticized Herbert Wechsler's plan under which it would be impossible to, and I quote, "convict a single member," unquote, of those who had participated in the slaughter of our men taken as prisoners of war near Malmedy, I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that correctly, Belgium, unquote. Therefore, exploiting the publicity about Malmedy, Bernays then began developing an effective policy that would enable the United States to prosecute Nazi war criminals, something he and others had considered for months. Before learning all of the facts of the Malmedy incident, Bernays and others promoted the idea that the incident was not isolated, but represented, and I quote, "the existence of a Nazi plan or conspiracy to dominate Europe or the world by using organizations such as the SS and the Gestapo to commit atrocities and spread terror," unquote. Officials in the War Department then began working on a draft based on Germany's, and I quote, "purposeful and systematic conspiracy to achieve domination of other nations and peoples by deliberate violation of the rules of war," unquote. Those that the nations of the world have recognized and followed. President Franklin D. Roosevelt would soon be leaving for the Yalta Conference, which would occur February 4th through the 11th in 1945, the second of three wartime conferences, where he was to meet with Prime Minister Winston S. Churchill and General Secretary Joseph Stalin to discuss Europe's post-war reorganization and the treatment of key Nazi war criminals. to prepare policy positions for Yalta, Judge Samuel I. Rosenman, a longtime friend and key legal advisor, and the presidential speechwriter, and a champion of the conspiracy criminal organization proposal, greatly influenced Roosevelt's war crimes policy. Rosenman, a leading member of the American Jewish Committee, was the first official White House counsel and counseled both Roosevelt and Truman. On January 3, 1945, Roosevelt, who had been procrastinating, finally had to address the war crimes issue. Herbert Pell, the American representative of the United Nations War Crimes Commission, the UNWCC, was eager to collaborate on a war crimes policy with the State Department. Officials in the State Department appeared unwilling to define the American objectives and policies regarding the punishment of war crimes. Pell, in trying to discover what the State Department was doing about creating a policy, met unsuccessfully with Stettinius, Secretary of State. Pell then wanted to meet with the president on January 9th. In anticipation of that meeting, Roosevelt and Rosenman devised a memo to send to the State Department requesting a report from Stettinius. Oh, that's hard. You know, so things are easier to read than they are to pronounce. Readers often have difficulty pronouncing things vocally. Anyway, Rosenman and Roosevelt created this report to decide their stance on the punishment of Hitler and other key Nazi war criminals. The memo included the following, and I quote, "The charges against the top Nazis should include an indictment for waging aggressive and unprovoked warfare in violation of the Kellogg Pact. Perhaps these and other charges might be joined in a conspiracy indictment," unquote. In other words, they were going to say this, that the NSDAP was a criminal organization. John J. McCloy, the Assistant Secretary of War, scheduled a meeting on January 4th, 1945. Prior to the meeting, Bernays and one of his assistants devised the memorandum to include a very elastic interpretation of international law. They used the Geneva Convention, Geneva Prisoner of War Convention, the Hague Convention 3 and 4, and the Kellogg-Briand Pact, along with public conscience, which, of course, the media had created. They also included the opinions of Hirsch Lauterpacht, author of The Function of Law in the International Community, which came out in 1933, and the ideas of Aaron Trainin. Now, Trainin was a professor of criminal law at the Moscow State University and the author of Hitlerite Responsibility Under Criminal Law, published in London in 1945. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back.
There's no reason to be sick this season with Supernatural Silver's incredible technology. You can give your immune system the support it needs to help fight off colds, flus, and other nasty pathogens that can ruin the holidays for you and those you love. Used internally or topically, Supernatural Silver is a great defense against sore throats, runny noses, sinus or ear infections, and a whole host of other illnesses. Supernatural Silver is extremely safe and a great way to protect yourself and the ones you love. No one knows what the future may bring, so be smart and plan ahead. Have Supernatural Silver in your emergency preparedness arsenal and give someone a gift that's meaningful, a gift that can change lives. Give the gift of good health this year. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2013 for 20% off your entire order. That's supernaturalsilver.com. And like us on Facebook.
Hi, I'm with Keller Williams Realty. I'm in your neighborhood to see if you have any real estate needs.
Maybe. What would you do as a realtor to market my home?
Well, my skills are in knowing the market, listing your home for the best price possible, negotiating on your behalf, advertising your home, and helping to defend your castle.
Defend my castle?
That's right. In Texas, it's called the castle law, and a portion of my commission will go to Gun Owners of America as a charitable cause to help secure our freedoms.
Really? That does make you different from other realtors.
It's about time people make a stand for what they believe in. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, I do. And I'd be glad if you helped me sell this home. And my friends will be, too.
Here's my business card for your friends. They can call me at 877-605-9200 and ask for Sandra. Oh, and if they're not in Texas, I can still refer them to a great Keller Williams agent where they live. They just need to call 877-605-9200. 877-605-9200.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Attention veterans, fellow preppers, and outdoorsmen. You have to check out AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They're veteran-owned and operated, offering GMO-free food, camping supplies, and much more. The best customer service and fast shipping makes AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com second to none. Unique products and super low prices make AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com the best choice for emergency preparedness. No automated computers, just good people trying to help you prepare. Finally, brother veterans, if you need help with food or blankets, call 818-720-0759.
RBN is having the end-of-the-year pledge drive. To encourage listener support, for donations of $100 or more, you get an RBN coffee mug and a T-shirt. You can mail your donation to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can donate online through PayPal or make a donation via phone by calling 800-724-2719. All donations are greatly appreciated and needed. Please make a donation today.
About the etymology of the word genocide, and I was talking about Aaron Trainin, T-R-A-I-N-I-N. He was a professor at criminal law at the Moscow State University. He is the author of Hitlerite Responsibility Under Criminal Law, published in London in 1945. He also wrote The Criminal Responsibility of the Hitlerites, published in Moscow in 1944, and it was edited by Andrei Vinichki, and Vinichki was the deputy state prosecutor of the USSR in 1933, and the procurator general of the USSR in 1936. To 1938, and helped Stalin conduct the infamous Moscow trials. Following his victories in the show trials, Vyshinsky accepted the position of director at the Institute of Law and quickly became the acknowledged leader of the Soviet legal profession. The Soviets, known for their extra-legal measures and kangaroo courts, would soon assign Trainin, a subordinate of Vyshinsky, as one of the Soviet representatives at the London conference. And that is where they decided how they were going to formulate the tribunal at Nuremberg. Those who attended McCloy, and getting back to McCloy, those who attended McCloy's decisive meetings included Colonel R. Ami Cutter, a Boston lawyer functioning as McCloy's assistant executive officer, Bernays, the key creator of the conspiracy criminal organization plan, General John M. Weir, Judge Advocate General of the U.S. Army, and George L. Harrison, an advisor, friend of Stimson. Harrison was the de facto head of the interim committee, which drafted the American Atomic Bomb Strategy. The objective of this meeting was to decide how to smoothly incorporate Bernays' plan, which was the conspiracy criminal organization plan. General Weir, W-E-I-R, opposed the conspiracy criminal organization scheme, saying that it would not allow the prosecution of pre-war atrocities. After a lot of unproductive negotiating, they arrived at a consensus that McCloy could present the next day when he met with Rosenman. So Rosenman was the key operator here. He was the key decision maker. He was the key person who would then tell Roosevelt what to do. And Roosevelt was getting ready, of course, to go to the conference where he would present his plan to Stalin and Churchill, and thereafter it would go forward. McCloy advocated making aggressive warfare an international crime, which he ultimately abandoned to, and I quote, the launching of the present war, unquote. They worked hard to devise an acceptable memorandum for the next day's meeting with Judge Rosenman. Rosenman's meeting on January 5th, 1945, included people from the War, State, and Justice Departments, along with Roosevelt's special representatives, Joseph E. Davies, a lawyer and the second ambassador to the Soviet Union, and, of course, Rosenman himself, the person who avidly promoted the conspiracy criminal organization scheme. Rosenman convened an interdepartmental conference on January 9th to reach a consensus on the war crimes policy. Although the JAG representative opposed the conspiracy criminal organization scheme, Bernays, McCloy, and Cutter held to that view. Herbert Wechsler, Green H. Hackworth, State Department legal advisor, and Rosenman enthusiastically supported the scheme. At the conclusion of the conference, they gave the task of finalizing the memorandum to Bernays and Wechsler, who Bernays had earlier converted to his plan. On January 13, 1945, Bernays and Wechsler completed a five-page memorandum, a modified version of Bernays' conspiracy criminal organization scheme, in which they, and I quote, chronicled Nazi atrocities and crime, unquote, and on the formulation and execution of a criminal plan committed by the various German organizations, especially the SS. The memorandum reiterated the idea of using an international tribunal sanctioned by an international charter to vigorously prosecute Germany for its, and I quote, broad criminal plan of aggressive war, unquote. Then Bernays worked to gain additional support before the draft was complete. Because McCloy and Rosenman eagerly championed his plan, officials at the War, State, and Justice Departments were also likely to accept it. Ambassador Davies met with Roosevelt after the meeting in Rosenman's office. While Davies opposed the Bernays plan, he strongly supported the Soviet plan, which was much tougher and legally innovative. Roosevelt, lacking strong feelings about the formal tribunal, just wanted to destroy Hitler and his associates as quickly as possible. Meanwhile, numerous reviewers gushed about Lemkin's credentials, his, and I quote, wide scholarship, unquote, and identified him as, and I quote, a noted Polish scholar and authority, unquote. Allegedly, an expert on international law who had arrived in America shortly before the publication of his very expensive book, which initially only appealed to a small, exclusive readership. Then, the Stalin-loving weekly, The Nation, with almost 40,000 subscribers, published a two-part article entitled The Legal Case Against Hitler on February 24th, 1945, and March 10th, 1945, in which Lemkin summarized his book and introduced a new word, genocide. Lemkin's article provided a legal argument and the justification for a military tribunal designed exclusively against Hitler and all the German leaders. He wanted to arrest, incarcerate, and incarcerate them because he claimed, and I quote, the Nazis have destroyed whole nations, unquote. After his return from Yalta, Roosevelt instructed Rosenman, who had been with him at Yalta, to visit with London authorities to determine how the Allies were going to handle the German war crimes issue in conformity with the Yalta agreements. On April 5, 1945, John A. Simon, who was the British Chancellor, suggested that they execute Hitler without any trial, along with Goebbels, Himmler, and Ribbentrop. Lord Halifax, ambassador to the United States, told War Secretary Stimson that there should be an international tribunal. In October 1944, Churchill had told Stalin that the Nazi high officers, when caught, should be taken out and shot. And that's a quote. Then Stalin said, and I quote, we should give them a trial first, unquote. Rosenman decided from his London visit that there should be a trial. Chancellor Simon, speaking for the British government, who Churchill supported, still favored execution without a trial. On April 25, 1945, Stimson, after a phone consultation with McCloy, insisted on official judicial proceedings against German war criminals. After FDR died, Truman supported Stimson's International Tribunal blueprint, which initiated the Nuremberg trials, which lasted from 1945 to 1946. These trials affected the development of international law to expand and enlarge the world court's authority, which would ultimately supersede all natural law. Okay, we are going to our top of the hour break. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour, and we will continue, and in the next hour, I'm going to talk about the Genocide Treaty, which is an individual threat to every single one of us. Be back in 6 minutes after.